Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Open our hearts to hear your word and bless us with understanding. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations on all of our hearts be acceptable in thine sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. To date, it remains one of the top three most watched TED Talks. At the time of its recording, the professor's topic was deemed so undesirable that up to the moment they hit record, producers were still encouraging a change. The teacher held firm, stating this was what 20 years of their relentless research had produced and the precise reason that they were invited to present to begin with. Truthfully, I'd never heard of this TED Talk. I first heard of the story when I picked up the magazine and read its featured cover interview. It was one of those days at the airports where delays sent you roaming through the magazine aisle to read everything and anything, and I was struck with the discord of how this topic would find its way onto a business magazine of all things. So I bought it, and I read on. Now, what really got my attention was how the professor not only shared how they had tapped onto something that was on everyone's hearts and minds, but they also spoke of how the immense success of it all had changed their own life. In fact, it had prompted a decision to recommit themselves to a church home. Now this had my attention. More stories like this in the world. More stories that frame how the pressures of doing well and succeeding can send us just as fast into God's arms as the low points of our lives. The professor's name is Dr. Brené Brown, and the topic is vulnerability and shame. This was the subject of the now famous TED Talk that went viral, and up to the last minute, had fearful producers asking her to change. Vulnerability and shame was the cover topic on that business magazine because her books had paved the way for her to be hired by a series of Fortune 500 CEOs to help transform their company into a modern workplace. In fact, the interview was largely about how the head of Pixar Studios, the film studio who has produced such movies as Toy Story and Frozen, credited her and her research team in reframing how to better understand their audience. Though unknown as a top researcher for more than 20 years, her sudden success is what sent her and her daughters and her husband back to reconnect with their Protestant faith in their Texas town. Here's what she tapped into, proven by her decades of research. It seems that all of us struggle with communication. And one reason is that we come to the fullness of our lives with a kind of filter that was created by vulnerability and by shame. Nobody escapes this, but for some of us, it runs a little deeper than others. The process she and her research team have become known for is to ask a disrupting question at the start of each situation that will sort of shake this filter. What's the story you're telling yourself? Meaning, is there something that you are holding on to that might be getting in your way of seeing what's actually before you? What's the story you're telling yourself? Because sometimes we get so tangled up, we cannot really see our way forward. Our reading today on this Maundy Thursday was from the Gospel of John. It is this passage that we heard Pastor Scott share with us, mandatum, the word commandment. I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. We started our story tonight at the evening meal, the Last Supper, that is already in progress. Scripture tells us that Jesus knew that this hour had come. Time is running out. Time to teach. Time to impart those last critical lessons to the disciples who were gathered. Time is running out to help them remember what is sacred. Jesus explains that he will wash his disciples' feet. Now, foot washing was practiced in both the Jewish and Roman context and is rooted in hospitality. It was normally performed by the guests themselves or even by servants on behalf of the host. But nobody was prepared for Jesus to be the one who initiated this. Time is running out, time to teach, and time to help them remember what is sacred. In washing their feet, Jesus combines the roles of servant and host and lives out the lesson of love before their very eyes. But not all people see Jesus' love. Peter, always Peter, shows the difficulties humans may encounter when offered such grace. Peter's first words seem incredulous. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? His resistance is ground in the incomprehensible. Jesus reassures him of this love he is about to give and that it will all become clear in the future. But Peter digs in even further. "You will never wash my feet." He resists this act of love. Perhaps he is embarrassed. Perhaps he cannot stand the reminder of the grace offered to him in Christ and his need for it. Whatever Peter's reasoning, Jesus responds now with a demand. "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Now, share is the same word here used for fellowship, for intimacy. "Come, Peter, time is running out. Why do you resist and deny? He wants to show you that to follow means to love. What is in your way that you can't see this? Peter, what is the story that you are telling yourself that is stopping you from receiving so that you will learn to give?" But Peter digs in. He changes his tactics. He no longer rejects Jesus' washing, but now demands a more thorough version. "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." At this point, Peter may recognize the depth of his own uncleanliness and wants a complete bath, perhaps a foreshadowing of what will be happening in the hours to follow. But the point is being missed. In our Lord and Savior washing all the disciples' feet, it's not about purification. It is to demonstrate what it means to be a disciple, to love and serve. And now, with time almost gone, we pick up just a few minutes later when Jesus makes clear what it will mean to follow him. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." You see, this was never just about washing feet. Remember what is sacred: love. It's not about giving up one's life. It's about giving away one's life. And this, see, this is where you and I now enter this story, because this is where we must pause. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the events that are about to happen and for the promises of Easter? You see, all Lenten season long, we've been mapping a path here at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church on this Easter journey, and tonight we are getting so much closer to seeing just what's around that bend. Tonight we will be remembering the promises of our own baptism and then join in communion of the Holy Spirit through bread and cup. But that's why I have to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for grace? Or what is the story you are telling yourself that is getting in the way? Because the response of Peter can often be our own. We get ourselves so tangled, and then we cannot really see out, and we cannot see our way forward. Years ago, I was teaching children about communion. That following Sunday, they would be participating for the first time, and this was an informal question and answer, so we could all talk through what was about to happen before they sat with their families and loved ones that following Sundays in the pews. Like our church here, this church that I was serving at the time made their own communion bread, and I had brought out a fresh loaf for them to take a piece of to practice, and the smell was just as fantastic as you can imagine. One by one, they each pulled a piece of bread, and their eyes grew wide and questioning. How much do I take? How much to grab? Some would take exactly as much as their neighbor did before them, and some just reached in and grabbed a big hunk. It was the stuff of laughter and discussion. The final child took the bread and pulled such a tiny amount out that it could scarcely be called a crumb. She did not meet my eyes. And when we had all finished, I asked if she would hold back so we could talk. Her eyes welled up, and she shared that just that morning, she had told a big lie. And her mom and her dad had found out, and now she was in serious trouble. "I don't deserve any piece of bread, she told me. I don't even deserve more than this or to sit on the pews with all of them. I asked her if I could sit down, and we began the discussion, and we began to talk about grace. You see, we tell ourselves these stories, stories that are blocking us from grace and love and discipleship. And there has never been a more urgent time for such a time as this that it is needed in this world. But friends, the good news is there is no other story that we need to tell. Time is running out. We are just moments away. Let us prepare ourselves to remember what is sacred. It's not about giving up one's life. It's about giving away one's life. A new command I will give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Let God's people say, Amen.
Amen. Friends, go from this place in peace, in love, waiting, looking for the return of the light. Amen.